This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and I'm joined by the community director of Jake and Gino, Josh Rusin. Josh, how you doing today?
Gino, what's up, man? Making things happen, bro. I'm super excited. In less than 2 weeks, we have a Manage Right bootcamp where I'm going to see probably about 100 of my best friends and honestly spend some time, level up my knowledge, but also see the progress students are making. That I get a lot of pride out of that, man. How about you?
Well, for those of you out there, think, is this the right time for multifamily, for real estate? The Fed just raised rates by 0.5 point. We just mentioned in another video, first time since year 2000 that has moved that high. So it's never the right time unless you're ready. Ready? What's the old saying? Plant the tree 20 years ago. The next best time is to plant it today. So stop waiting to plant the damn tree and jump into multifamily today.
Love it, man. Yeah, someone's sitting in the shade today because they planted a tree 20 years ago. But what I want to talk about is today's guest. So today we have Logan Rankin. He is the owner and founder of Rankin Enterprises, the 100% equity owner of 1,925 apartment units with a value totaling north of $200 million. And as of today, author of Find Your Financial Freedom. Welcome to the show, Logan.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Logan, I got to jump in real quick. The title of the book is great. Before we get into your story, I think it's more important to really discuss with you, what does financial freedom look like to you? What's that picture? Paint that picture for the audience.
Yeah, financial freedom for me is actually, I think a lot of people think it's about being wealthy or having a lot of money. For me, it's always about having my time. Like you have time, you can choose to do whatever you want. And I knew early on that you need to build the vehicles to be able to provide the money, but the money provides the time. So that's what it looks like for me, is being able to take back my time.
So let me ask you this, because a lot of people, myself included, with the middle-class mindset think money is more valuable than time. But what I learned studying the wealthy is they'll actually trade their money to free up their time. So to you, why is time more valuable than money?
First of all, you can continue to make as much money as you want, right? Like, and if anything, the government has proven that you can just continue to print it. Time you never get back. Right? Time you never get back. And I think it's really, really important, because you can continue to trade your time for money, but then it's gone. So it's that commodity, right? That's super, super important that you want to hold on to and you want to keep.
All right, watch this. I can hammer that example home for everyone. So play with me with this one. Would you trade places with Warren Buffett? The dude has more money than anyone needs. But as far as time, I think he's in his 90s. He doesn't have a lot left. So I'm going to guarantee almost everybody listening would say no. And that alone proves that time is more valuable than money. And like you said, you can have unlimited money, but time, it's all ending 1 second at a time. That's the most precious resource. So I agree with that one.
Logan, when was that mind shift? When did that occur for you, the mind shift of thinking that money is not as important as time?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. Tough when I think back about, I had a shift first about like how to accumulate money, because I mean, it's one of the reasons I wrote this book is, you know, I grew up in Northeastern Wisconsin, a hardworking blue class, small town, same with my family, right? So I never had money. So to start with, I didn't understand that time was more valuable than money. I just wanted money. And unfortunately, like I didn't learn any of that stuff. Like none of it. I graduated college and still thought to pay off all my debt, save all my money and put the rest of it into a 401k. So I started educating myself and reading a lot of books, which helped me understand. You read enough books on wealth and making money, I knew I wanted money, you get into real estate. And then as you start accumulating that wealth, as you start growing that wealth, you start thinking about the time, right? And I think it was around, to answer your question, Gino, 4 years into my corporate job is when I started to realize, because I'm working 70 hours a week, nights and weekends, 6-7 days a week, and I'm making good money, especially for just graduating college, and I'm climbing the corporate ladder. But I have no time to do anything else. And I almost can't feel my wealth being able to grow. So not having that control, not having that understanding, and trading so much of my time for the opportunity to what? Like, if I look at what I put in my 401k, I'm going to be 59 and a half years old before I can even touch that.
Let's talk about that, because here's the thing, your corporate career, you crushed it. Most people would look at that and say that's success. And probably to your peers, you're having a lot more success than them. So what made you start looking around being like, hey, I got to do something different?
I think it's my first step in the book, actually, is the vision step. I think we live in a world of instant gratification, constant distraction, and how often do we actually think and have a vision for where we want to be? So I started looking at where people were in my company at their age and where they were, and I realized that's not what I wanted. So when I slow down enough, Josh, to think about what other people were and how old they were and how much of their life they've given away to be able to achieve that, I think that was the mind shift that I said, I don't want that. And it wasn't just at my job, to be honest with you. It's like everything I was ever taught. Like all the traditional investments that barely worked before are definitely not working in the future. They always make you accumulate wealth and not touch it until you're 60 or afterwards. And I think that sucks, because I think a lot of people get stuck, like me, in a corporate job, and you keep getting that hamster wheel and keep trading more and more and more time to make more and more and more money. But then before you know it, to your point, you're 60. And even if you are wealthy, 65, 70, or you can retire, I think everybody would rather trade back that time. So I just think there's better ways to be able to do it. I think there's better ways to be financially free and happy while also accumulating wealth.
So Logan, what would you say the first step for all the listeners? And I really want this to really resonate with everyone out there. Great Stephen Covey says it best. Start with the end in mind. Start with that vision. That vision will give you the commitment. You know, we had an interview with Julius Thomas, football player for the Denver Broncos. That's his first. He's got his famous five to become really, really an amazing, I guess, entrepreneur, performance, whatever you want to call it. And the first one is real commitment. And commitment means sacrifice. So as you're listening to Logan, he's put in the thousands of hours to do it. But you could put in thousands of hours and do something wrong. He's put in thousands of hours and he's used the right vehicle, which is multifamily. That's the important thing. And having that vision, starting with the end in mind, what do you want? Do you want to be 70 years old and have $2 million in a 401k? Or do you want to be 48 years old, being able to go out and look at deals and work on your own time? I mean, start with the vision. If you want to continue on, what's the next step? What should we do next?
And Gino, I would say with that too, I mean, I love that. And so how many people have you heard say they want financial freedom or they want to retire early, but they don't do anything about it? So like in my book, I talk about like, what if you just once, if you actually write down the goal, I want to be financially free, don't stop there. Put a date on it. I want to be financially free by 45. Okay, then don't stop there. Right after that, with your spouse, like my wife and I, every single month, if we have a huge goal, like a vision goal, we'll write it down. We'll say it out loud. It sounds kind of corny, but it's super important because there's so many things that are distracting you. And then say, what is our level of commitment? That's what you just said, right? The commitment, right? What is your level of intensity that you are going to sacrifice for it? Because that's important just to be honest with yourself. There's so many people that say they want something, but they're not able to make the sacrifices, or maybe their spouse is not too. So if one person's on a 9.5, like that's willing to sacrifice anything and everything, and the other person's at a 6, there's a conversation that needs to happen, because I promise you that ideal time of reaching financial freedom is going to look different if one person's sacrificing more than the other person. So that I just think that conversation has to happen a lot more.
Logan, I got to ask Josh this question, and I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to see if he agrees with me. Smart people learn from their mistakes. Wise people learn from all these mistakes. So I was real smart for a lot of my years in life. And as I got older, all of a sudden there's people out there to teach you how to speak, teach you how to scale up companies. What would you say to that? Don't you think that's the crux of the Jake and Gino community and writing these books and having people like Logan on the show?
Man, I love that. And I think that's the shortcut to success. Find someone like Jake and Gino, like Logan, who has the results you're looking for. No need to go out there and reinvent the wheel. I call it rip off and duplicate. Go out there, find what's working, learn how they're doing it, seek to serve, add value, pay to play for their time, and implement like crazy, like Logan says.
And Logan, the reason why I asked him that, he just dovetailed right into it. He actually took the bait. What he's doing is he's shortening the learning curve. He's getting back some of his time, giving out money. So you have to think of it as when you're putting that money down, it's an investment. You're investing the money on the front end to get your time back on the back end. And you can take off not days, not months, years off of that cycle if you're willing to invest in yourself on the front end. And I've seen it time and time again from the Jake and Gino students, over 40,000 units, they start putting that time and effort into it. All of a sudden, things start paying off. Now, for you, Logan, paint that picture, though, of financial freedom. And even when you retire, because for me, retirement was going to sit on. I came down here. I was retired. I'm not going to go sit on the beach. I sit on the beach for 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, what are we doing now? I want to continue to work. I love working. I love grinding. So for you, what did that picture look like to you? And how did you actually get your wife on board to go along with your picture?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. Because I think it changes too, right? Like my ideal picture of what financial freedom was when I was not financial freedom is not what I'm doing today. You know, it is like, I can't not do anything. So I think for a lot of people that's fine. If you're not financially free, it might be you picture yourself now with the money to be able to provide the time or you can go sit on the beach. But you end up changing as a person on that journey to your destination. And then when you get to that destination, that change that's within you, there's something about now having all the time and want to make a difference, right? You want to make a difference in what you're doing. I found out I love the grind. Like I'm trying to disrupt property management. I'm building I'm building two different companies right now. I'm still growing my portfolio. Just closed on 82 units today. So I want to continue to do this. I spent a year and a half writing this book. I'm tackling as many different things as I possibly can, because now when you actually have your time back, you can choose what to do with it. It's almost like you want to accomplish even more. But the key word is you get to choose all those things. Like you get to choose all those things. Nobody is telling you when you have to punch in and punch out. And I think that's where the difference lies. I think it's hard for people to even imagine not sitting on the beach. But once you don't punch in and punch out anymore and you actually have your time back, then you have the opportunity to think through your vision changes and you have the opportunity to really think about what you want to make and I think everybody wants to evolve and everybody wants to make an impact. And I think when you have the time to be able to do that, that destination moves.
So it's funny. Tony Robbins says the whole idea of a goal, let's say your goal is financial freedom, is really not to hit the goal. It's to become the person you need to become to hit that goal. Because then when you hit that goal, you have the next iteration in your life. And that's important for everybody out there, because financial freedom, to me, I'll give you my definition real quick. Once I became financially free, I was able to help others. I was able to get on a coaching call. I was able to hire Josh. I was able to scale up Jake and Gino. I was able to sit down and write and, you know, publish 6 different books. If I'm not financially free, I'm always worried about the next paycheck. Us as being financially free, we chase opportunity. We don't just chase a paycheck. And that's really, really important for everybody to distinguish out there. Financial freedom is great. You have your bills getting paid. That's really great. But then once you have that, you will get bored, because those of us that are seeking financial freedom don't want to retire on the beach for the vast majority of us. We still want to continue to have impact and to strive and I guess to help others. And once you help others, ultimately it comes back on you. You're writing this book out. You're going to help other people with this book, but those people are going to come back into your life and they're ultimately going to be giving back into your life. So I think that's truly important. You want anything to that, Josh?
No, I think that's good. So, all right, we get the vision. We take massive action towards the vision. Logan, what's step number 2 in the book?
It's called the cash flow budget. So I think as you start to scale, you have to understand what do you need to do? There's a lot of people, even successful investors, that they ask this question about, like, how do you scale your business? Your number one business is your personal financial statement. Okay. Like if you're not out of your W-2 job, then you need to understand how to calculate your cash flow and ensure you understand where it is. So kind of gives you the steps of here's what you make, right? Here's what you spend. Spending, I always divided my spending into needs and wants, just like a business, right? Here's what I need to live on. What is that percentage, guys? Like, what is that percentage? Like for my wife and I, for the longest time, we could live off 10%. Wasn't easy, but 10% of what we made. And then ultimately you get the cash flow. So that's what I want people to pay attention to, right? Expenses is only 5 to 10% of the equation, if that, like, right? It's a finite amount. You want to focus on the income and where to work hard. So you pay attention to the cash flow. And I think one real fun thing that I have always had fun with is how many months in a row can you beat the previous month's cash flow? Because at some point you got to figure out how to stack money to be able to buy a multifamily, right? So step number 2 is, you know, having a very easy, actionable way to be able to do that. And, you know, with your spouse, making sure that you're in that together. So step number 2 is really like figuring out how to CEO your personal life and focus on, if you're working hard for your money, knowing exactly where it goes. And then it filters into step number 3, which is a scoreboard. hey, you're working hard for your money, but now you need your money to work hard for you. So that's where we talk about putting the assets and liabilities to work.
Okay, so you've got the snowball going. You've got it. Once you've got that cash flow stacking and you start working on it, I should have asked in the beginning, why multifamily for you? Why did you choose that vehicle out of all the other vehicles that you could have chosen?
I chose a lot of them before I got into multifamily, though, honestly, Gino. And there's so many different reasons, but I'll narrow it to three. I wanted control, okay? Like if I want to be financially free, I wanted control. And one thing I realized is a lot of traditional retirement accounts, all the things that people are talking, you didn't have control. No one's going to convince me that if you put, I don't care if it's free match, no one's going to convince me that if I put money into my 401k, but I can't touch it without penalty until 59, that's control. That's zero control. I wanted predictability. If you're going to be financially free and leave my W-2 job, that's scary. So I needed to be able to predict the amount of returns that are coming in. You know, I couldn't predict how much money my Roth IRA was going to make 12 months from now or 30 days from now. So I needed a vehicle to be able to predict it. And then I needed to get paid now. Like, that's the craziest thing, is somehow through like 25 years of my life, school, society, friends and family, they all convince you that you don't need, you put your hard-earned money into these retirement vehicles, but you don't get any of it back for a long, long time. Someone convinced, that's somehow in society, that's okay. So I want a vehicle to pay me now, because if you want to retire early, you need that money now.
Dude, I got to ask you. So hearing this from you, it sounds such common sense, but they don't teach this in schools. And honestly, it's not common knowledge. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's a lot of political tape in the education system to be able to break into it. And I also think there's a lot of people that benefit from people not knowing. So for example, having your money tied up, Wall Street benefits a lot. You know, I always say, like, it's fine to buy a house, but a house doesn't produce any income either, right? There's a lot of people that benefit from you buying a house, or which is bank. So there's a lot of other people. I mean, if you actually break down some of these funds, and the financial advisor gets paid, right? You know, the person the financial advisor sells it to gets paid. Wall Street gets paid. There's all these different people that get paid in between. And they want that money as long as possible, right? So that they can move it and they can make money off of it. So I think people are making a lot of money off of other people's money without them actually knowing what's going on.
Wow. Let's talk about that first deal, and let's tell the listeners how they can start getting into multifamily, because they're listening right now. They know intuitively that this is the game. There's a lot of people get into multifamily. You didn't even touch on the tax benefits, because it's not only what you make, it's what you keep. So that's another huge component, is all those wealthy people out there who are doctors, lawyers, high income earners and W-2s. Their ears must be pricking up and going, how do I get a piece of this? Because I can hear, you know, the control. I can hear the prediction. I need to get paid now. But what about those tax benefits? How did you start out, and what advice would you give to anybody looking to get into multifamily right now?
Yeah, anybody looking to get into multifamily, and if you're not in it now, you don't know much about it, you need to educate yourself. And in today's world, there's no excuse not to learn how to get into multifamily, right? There's podcasts like this, there is amazing mentors like Jake and Gino, and there is so many books out there that can help you. I didn't know any mentors out there, and I didn't listen to podcasts. I did books right away, because I literally knew nothing. In fact, when I started educating myself, I was $40,000 in debt. So I learned a lot of multifamily. Certainly nobody, I didn't know anything before I bought my first purchase. So, but if you read enough books, or if you educate yourself enough, or if you pay for great mentors, multifamily is not as hard as what you think. And I remember thinking it was super risky. I talk about that a lot in my book, but where you probably put your money right now, if you ask yourself the right questions, it should scare the hell out of you. That's risky. Like, we just don't ask the questions because it's been pounded in our head that this is what we do. So I think that's a few things for those that aren't in multifamily to really think about. Just start with educating yourself. There's so many different ways to be able to do it. And what I really like about my book, that there's a lot of books on personal finance and financial freedom that are like mind shift books. Like, I think Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? It's a very good mind shift book. But in my book, I've always wanted one that sure, we'll talk about mind shift and why you should do the things that we're talking about on today's podcast, but there's actionable steps that you can do. Like, it's the same freaking steps that I did to get my first place. It's the same steps that my wife and I do right now too. You got to figure out how to build some savings, and then you got to take a chance and be able to invest. My first investment, by the way, to your question, Gino, was a single family house. So I screwed up just about everything on that deal. By the way, it left me with $7 left in my bank account. just a single family house. That's all that, that's what we chose to be able to do. And that spurred into, you know, 8.5 years later, 1,923 units. So, I mean, you can do it, guys.
Dude, that's incredible. And you know, it's almost coming full circle, right? Earlier in the show, we talked about if you want to find or get those results, find someone that's doing it, take the actions they're doing. And if you start thinking and acting like them, the results should be somewhere on the scale as well. So it sounds like that's why you wrote the book, which is incredible, man.
Next deal. After the single family, what was the next deal?
Yeah, so what we did for the next 3-4 years is we doubled. So the next year we bought a duplex, 2 units. By the way, went broke again. The year after that, we bought 2 duplexes, went broke again. So like, this is a pattern, right? And I want to share this because I talk about this in my book. It's like, I think we have this accumulation, like we want to just save money or like put money away. But really what you want is to move money. So as fast as you build money through the cash flow budget that I talk in my book, you want to be able to invest that and put that to work so that the money comes back. So the only reason I could buy 2 units in year 2 was because I saved up the same way I did the year before, maybe plus a promotion, but pretty much the same way. And then I had that single family that produced $3,300. So I had a little bit more money for my first investment because it paid me that year. And then the year 3, when I bought 4 units, 2 duplexes, I had the 3 units that were cash flowing. I put it all back in and did it again. I do it a little bit more safely now and I'll go broke every single time, but it just depends on how bad you want it. At that point, we had nothing to lose. Nothing. What's the worst that happens? We don't have anything. So you might as well, you know, accumulate the money, stack the money, invest the money really, really quickly. And again, I think the mindset's wrong. I think we teach people to make, you know, work really hard for the money and set it aside and leave it still.
So what I was saying before we go to the short answers, what I'm hearing is it took you 3 years to get 5 units, but then you exploded and something clicked. Could you imagine if that first year you'd actually gone and done a mentorship or done something? I mean, maybe you have 3,000 units. I mean, your path is amazing. I would never want to change anything from what you've done because you've succeeded. But for everybody listening out there, you know, multifamily is high, prices are high, cap rates are low, but every other vehicle, everything else out there is way overpriced. There's no control. You have no predictability. And multifamily, you can become an entrepreneur. You can create a business. You've created a business on this entire platform that you built. Last question before we go short answers. Systems. I mean, how did you learn systems? How important are systems in your business? And give us one tip on scaling your business.
Yeah, I mean, systems is everything as you scale. I mean, really, and we call them the standard operating procedures that I have at my property management company, you know, constantly being able to evolve those and have them grow with you and grow with your team. Really, really important. I learned those from my W-2 job at a Fortune 50 company, learned a lot about systems and operations, but I also learned those from a few different mentors and a lot of books. There's so many good books out there that, I mean, again, we talk about why repeat a good system. If the system's out there and you can be able to use it, much easier to adapt something that works. So that's what I'd say about systems and a few tips to be able to scale your business. One of the biggest things that was hard for me to learn is that if you really want to scale, over 50% of your time has to be spent on other than daily routines. Okay. So if you think about your entire day and what it takes to get the job done, you cannot be spending more than 50% of your time on those daily routines. You have to be spending the 50% of the time on strategy, upgraded those systems we just talked about, development. I mean, this year alone, we've revamped our entire development program, which we're rolling out in about a month. We're spending $100,000 on development. We have all these people talking about, right, we can't find good people in your company. I mean, we're at 73 employees now. We had 5 2.5 years ago, hired 17 already this year. Well, you've got to have great systems to be able to develop that talent. And if you can, and if you're having a hard time hiring, for example, labor that's skilled, because that's what you would need in property management, what happens if you had a hell of a training or development program? So you instead, you hire people with great attitude and great effort. You plug them into your system and you train them the way that you'd want to in the first place. You probably could find people. So being able to, again, spend more than 50% of your time on the non-daily activities to be able to plug into your systems can really help scale your business.
Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
All right, Logan, I got some questions for you about your book, Find Your Financial Freedom. Who is this book written for, and why should they go read it?
This book is written for anybody that wants to achieve financial freedom faster. So that could be, you could be in high school, you could be 45 years old. I literally wrote this book for anybody that wants to achieve financial freedom faster. And again, it's not just about the mindset, but it'll answer a lot of those questions. It's going to give you actionable steps to be able to literally start when you finish reading this book.
Okay. So, all right. There's a ton of books out there, man. A lot of them are targeted at people who want to choose financial freedom. I know you said your book is more actionable, but sell it, man. Why should I go pick up this book? Why is this my next best read?
Yeah. So in the beginning of the book, it kind of goes through challenging limited beliefs. So I think a lot of the things that at least I was taught, and I think people learn in school or society about, you know, is all debt bad debt, right? Where to be able to put your money? Are traditional investments good? It covers a lot of that and questions a lot of that to make you think differently that I really think would benefit some people. But then right after that, it goes into my 1, 2, 3 step action plan that it took me to financially freedom. I hit it at 30. So I did this actionable steps 7 straight years. I still do it today. I give the entire thing away in this book. Like every single thing that I do every single month that helped me accomplish this a lot faster. So there's real actionable steps in there. And then I'm a big advocate. And by the way, Gino, congrats on your wife's kids book that just launched. It's awesome. Just ordered it. So I would say there's a legacy chapter in this book because, you know, best way to learn something is to teach it. And I really, really feel passionate that we need to be teaching our kids about money and about wealth building. You know, if you're not going to get it from society or from school, then you should do it. So there's an entire chapter built on that, which I call it the legacy chapter. It's pretty fun. And of course, I'm a little biased. This is Find Your Financial Freedom. So I certainly think you could get there faster your own way. And there's a proven concept to be able to do that. But there's a bonus chapter on real estate because I think real estate is literally something that everybody should have in their portfolio and something that can absolutely hedge inflation. And based on what's going on in this economic environment, even if you have no real estate today, I do think this bonus chapter would help a beginning investor be able to get into it.
Dude, I'm sold. Where can I pick up a copy of this book?
Yeah. So for everybody listening to this podcast, there's going to be a link in the show notes. I wrote this book to affect change, just like books affect change in my life. So everybody listen, there's gonna be a link that you can pick up the ebook if you click it just to this audience for 99 cents. If you want the paperback back and the hardcover, that is on there as well too. And it's basically at cost. I hope you enjoy.
Dude, thank you, man. Well, listen, Logan, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest on the show and really sharing your story and in the mission you're on. And guys, listen, if you like the show, please leave us a review. And until next time, let's make it a Movers and Shakers week. See you, everybody.
Thanks, Logan.
Thanks, guys.